Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to My Journey of Faith Radio. It's such a beautiful day out today, and there's just so much going on in the world that we're just going to focus a little bit on a character in the Bible. I had said at the beginning of the year that we were going to not only hear stories of those that are walking with God in their journey right now, but also to go back into time and to look at some of the lives that walked with God and Jesus throughout the Bible. So today we're going to look at Lydia in chapter 16 of Acts and just kind of get a little glimpse into her life and maybe kind of draw a little bit and glean of how we can apply her to our life and just look at her journey of faith. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about when women gather. And you know, so many times society tells us that when women gather, nothing good can come out of it. Even Hollywood prophets on the stereotype of women gathering as a harsh and cruel thing. I mean, just think about it. Desperate Housewives, Hollywood Wives, just so many different things out there that have the women gathering, and it's chaos. Our soap operas just show that any time that women gather, there's chaos and turmoil going on. But is that always true? No, it's not, especially when women gather and they are have their hearts towards God and they're looking towards the same goal. When those women gather, many wonderful things can happen. I want to share with you a story about not long ago that I attended a conference hosted by the Proverbs 31 Ministry, and you may have heard some of the women on the radio, Lisa Turkhurst and Renee Swope. Well, I had a great opportunity to go and attend one of these training sessions myself, and I was going alone and did not know another soul that was going. As the days grew closer for to my departure, I began considering what to take to wear. If you get to know me, you'll find I'm no fashionista. I mean, really, God knew what he was doing when he gave me boys. Once I asked someone to help out. Actually, someone asked me to help out taking care of a little girl while her parents were away on a mission trip, while they went to an appointment. And my only task was to pick the little girl up and take her to work with me until the caregivers were free from their appointment. Upon arrival, I found out that the little girl needed her hair fixed, so I jumped right to it, brushing and pinning it back, and satisfied with the job, we jumped into my car and headed to my workplace. As I walked in the door, I introduced the young lady to my coworkers, and their only reaction was, "Hello, and who did your hair?" Even my niece once was worried about me going to visit her, that I would try to girly her up for her first dance, and to which my sister responded, "Don't worry, Aunt Sissy doesn't know how to do girly." And that's true. So going back to this conference, I was taking that knowledge and not having a true companion where I could just pick up the phone and say, "Hey, what you taking to wear?" My worry level was a little peaked. Although I'm not a girly girl, I do know that we women have the tendency to measure up everyone within a few minutes of meeting them. And then finally, after I put everything remotely in my bag that resembled anything trendy or anything worthy of remotely fashionable towards professionalism, I jumped on a plane and I zigzagged north and south to go to the East Coast. I was unsure of what God had in store for me, but there was one thing I did know, is that God and I had some work to do in my life. Upon the landing at our final destination, after many delays, I gathered my luggage and found the shuttle to the conference center. And for a three-day stay, you can imagine that there were six ladies standing there, and we stuffed all of our luggage that we could into a 15-passenger van. Did you get that? Six ladies in a 15-passenger van, and we were stuffed in there. So apparently I wasn't the only one that didn't know what to bring for 3 days, and because you never know. You never know what cute shoes you're going to need. So all was loaded, and the nervous laughter and chatter began. And in front of me sat a mother and daughter team, and we quickly found a commonality that we both knew a pastor friend. And to me, that was a God thing, because you may not believe it, but I really am an introvert, and I can quickly plaster myself to the side of a wall of a van and get lost in the scenery and not worry about things that are going on around me. But God had a different plan, and he connected me with these two ladies that had something in common with me. After we arrived at the hotel, anxiety caused my thoughts to quickly turn from what was I going to wear to what in the world am I doing here. I was rather focused on all of the insecurities that I'd packed in myself instead of what was in my suitcase. And when I was checking in, the daughter of the mother-daughter team turned and asked me if I wanted to have dinner with them, and my assigned roommate wasn't arriving until the next day, so her offer sounded so much better than room service. And after dinner, God connected me with not just these two ladies, but he introduced me to four ladies. And we found our sessions were almost identical, and that night we bonded and formed a bond that lasted throughout the weekend. We attended classes, shared meals, and celebrated successes when one's proposal was accepted, and we had such a group cohesiveness that since we always ate at the same table, we started calling ourselves the Table 11 Girls. And the Table 11 Girls were right there listening and praying as God worked on the issues that he and I needed to sort through. As I was walking through some heart-wrenching decisions, they were there to encourage me to listen to God, to make changes he was setting for me, and to follow his guidance for the next step. These women were orchestrated by God so that I would not have been tempted to set in the back, to find ways to avoid working with God, to find a little pity party place, you know, and just instead, God placed real connections to cultivate in me a teachable heart. And through this connection, I was open to listen to God, to act on his call, and to follow him more specifically. Maybe you can recall a time when you walked into a room and there wasn't a connection with someone there. It could have been that the room was full of people you knew, or just the opposite, a room of complete strangers. Maybe you can think of another person who has had shared a similar experience of not connecting. I find more and more often that I'm not the only one that has experienced this, and that often wonder that the Bible teaches about connections. So I want to read to you the passage from Acts 16. We're going to start in verse 13, but this is when Paul and Silas had traveled because the Holy Spirit had guided them to go preach the word in the province of Asia, had prevented them from preaching, and they had went to Macedonia. Paul had had a vision to send him. So they had boarded in a boat at Troas and sailed straight to an island, and they had landed in Neapolis, which was a district, a major city. They reached Philippi, and that is where we pick up in Philippi. And in verse 13 it says, on the Sabbath day we went a little ways outside the city to the riverbank, where we thought people might be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak to some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. She listened to us, and the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with other members of her household, and she asked us to be their guests. If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home, and she urged us until we agreed. These few verses share with us the conversion of Lydia, but nestled within the text is a vital lesson on connections. As a little background, we find that Paul and Silas had arrived in the city of Philippi. Philippi is a key city in the region of Macedonia, like I had said earlier, and on the outskirts of the city were large arches with inscriptions prohibiting against bringing unrecognized religion into the city. There were very few Jews in this region, so there were no synagogues because it was an unrecognized religion. Since religious groups were not allowed within the city, we learned that Paul and Silas went outside the city walls to the banks of the river to find people worshiping. And as Paul and Silas were walking along the riverbanks, they came upon a group of women gathered for prayer, and they sat down to talk with them. A group of women gathering for prayer. What can we learn from this group of women? First, we learn that they were intentional in their meeting. A traditional place to meet and worship was not within the walls where they lived. It wasn't easy just to go down the street to the local church or next door for a cup of coffee. They had to give up, provide for their families, and make the choice to walk outside the city walls to join others in seeking God. These ladies had to have purpose and desire to gather that morning. Can you just imagine that within this group of ladies grew a deep desire to connect with others that were seeking God? Next, we find that not only were they intentional, they were inviting, open to God, bringing others to their group. They allowed Paul and Silas to join them. They could have easily said, "Get out of here, stranger. Can't you see we're worshiping God?" Also, they easily could have thought, "You are not like us, therefore you can't be allowed to join our group." Cliques were not an option for them. Not only did they allow them to sit among them, they allowed them to share their faith. They did not see these men as interruptions, but rather welcome guests. They welcomed what was most likely a divine appointment from God. This small group of women created an atmosphere that was inviting for the Holy Spirit to work. They allowed themselves to be used as an influential instrument for God within their group. They connected within themselves and others passing by, and we find that God began to work in their hearts. Remember when I stated earlier, real connections cultivate teachable hearts? The word cultivate means to plow and to make ready, and that's exactly what we see has happened as we continue to read verse 14 about Lydia. You know, it said, one of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth, who worshipped God. And as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She was apparently a wealthy woman seeking God. Through Scripture, we learn that she did three life-changing things. She sought, so she was a seeker. The wording in the text is worship. In the original Greek, this means to revere. Although she didn't personally know God, she had respect and slight knowledge of who he was. We can deduct that she was a seeker not only for God, but also since she too went outside the city wall, she sought a group to connect with. You know, maybe the woman sitting next to you at a coffee shop is like Lydia, seeking connection to God and others. The woman sitting next to you in a church, on the church pew, she also may be seeking connection to God and to others. Not only was Lydia a seeker, she listened, so she was sensitive. Paul and Silas shared about Jesus with the group of women, and they talked on who he was, what he did, and how to follow him. It wasn't just a social thing for her, so as she listened, God opened her heart. Many times we never know how God is working on the heart of the one sitting next to us. As she was being sensitive and listening to God's word being shared, we too need to be sensitive, listening to how God might use us or even speak to us. So not only was Lydia a seeker, not only was she sensitive, she accepted and she was secured in the word. The soul of her heart had been softened and made ready, and now not only sought after God, but she knew him personally. Quickly she was baptized, and became influential to others around her. This wasn't a secret acceptance, but she apparently shared with others in her home, in her own home. Action springs forth from the heart of a woman who encounters God. And that is so true. We don't just take it and hide it and hold it in, but our actions spring forth when we encounter the true and living God. We learn later in Scripture that Philippi was the home of one of the first churches. Don't you know this small group of women that sat on the banks of the river didn't keep meeting just among themselves? I can envision that they continued reaching out, making connections to cultivate teachable hearts. Imagine how differently things would have been had the group of women not been willing to go out of their way to connect and seek God. How different things would have been had they looked upon others in this interruption, hindered by not including them. It is so important that we make our connections real. Learning about connections in the Bible calls for us to consider connections today. What does real connections look like? Why do we need to make them? Let me share a story with you that happened several years ago when my mother and I went on a mission trip to southern France. Although we know absolutely no French at all, we were excited about our objective of getting the packets containing God's Word to the hands of North African Muslims. Yes, our thoughts were probably just like yours. Why not just go to North Africa to hand out the Bibles? Did you know that while it is not illegal to own a Bible in North Africa, it is illegal to hand them out there? There are very stiff fines and imprisonment if caught. So where there's a will, there's a way. God provides a way. Many North Africans live in France for work and will take trips back to their homeland often to visit families. The most economical way is a 24-hour ferry ride across the Mediterranean Sea. And as they make their way onto the ferry, they must pass through gates. And at that point, missionary teams are allowed to distribute material. Talk about a captive audience getting reading material into their hands while they're sitting there for 24 hours with nothing to do. So just like others throughout the summer, we joined a team. We learned 5 French phrases and set off for the ports each morning. My favorite was the car gate, and where you would see vehicles lined up and loaded with everything, including the kitchen sink. You would see these tiny, tiny cars loaded almost double their size with things that were just stacked and just filled to the max and roped down. I was always taught and even taught my kids, as I'm sure you have, to never play in traffic, but you were told there to just jump out there to stop the car. And my husband, he's always had this quick little quip that he would say when someone would step out onto a street, go ahead, step out there and meet Jesus. Well, that's exactly what we did sometimes when the cars would try to speed by. We would just jump out. And I guess crazy me like the adrenaline rush, or maybe it was the exhaust fumes that had me going, but I just really enjoyed that gate. My mother, however, enjoyed the pedestrian gate. It was a much slower pace where people would walk on the ferry with their luggage. One particular day, Mom noticed in the distance a woman dressed in a full burqa. Along with her luggage, she was making her way slowly to the gate, and Mom felt God drawing her eye to this woman over and over and felt the impressing of this Holy Spirit that she was the one to approach this woman. As the woman drew closer, Mom rehearsed her phrases and gathered the pack in her arms. And once close enough, Mom met the woman with a smile, held out the packet, and shared her words. C'est l'évangile, c'est un cadeau, c'est gratuit. It means, I have a gift. It is the Bible, and it's free. But to her, the woman just refused. Confused because my mom knew that God had led her to this woman, she prayed quickly what to do. And at that time, she noticed that the shirt she was wearing was the exact same color of green as the burqa the woman was wearing. Although limited by the language barrier, Mom begins connecting the color of the fabric. She touched and laughed and showed the two fabrics that were the same color, and eventually the woman's countenance started to soften. So Mom shared the phrases again and presented the packet. This time, the woman accepted the precious gift that contained the Word of God, the true God in her language. It's through real connections that cultivate a teachable heart, even if it's the connection of a fabric and a color. I looked up the word definition of network, and according to dictionary.com, one of the entries of network is an open fabric of woven strands that are interlaced and knotted at regular, usual intervals. Amazing, isn't it? We are to be woven, interlaced, and knotted with others as we join this path on earth. Together, we cannot recognize or understand it. We all crave connection. I love what Valerie Burton shares about connection in her book, Listen to Your Life. She says, sometimes we receive a divine nudge to take specific action because God will use that action to cause our path to cross another's at a specific moment. It is an invisible web that connects you to God, yourself, and others. Then she goes on to say, as you genuinely connect with people who cross your path, many of them will be a blessing to you, while others will inspire you to be a blessing. So along with being a blessing and becoming a blessing, connecting helps us to stay the course. As we meet with others, we are a source of encouragement. We can cheer each other on to follow hard after God. Not only stay in the course, we stay current to how God is working and to know how opportunities are available for us to get involved. Stay the course, stay current, and stay creative. This helps us to glean from and share with others how to go about the Father's business. You know, sometimes we need to find a creative way to connect, to reach out, to draw someone in. And as we do, we might just see a heart become teachable by God. I want to encourage you to be like Lydia, to go back, to look at her story. As she and the other women sat on the riverbank that day, they invited two men to sit down, who shared with them the love of who God was. They accepted as their hearts were open. Their hearts became teachable. Through real connections, we too are encouraged. We can be one that springs forth with action, just like a woman who encounters God. I just pray that you will just share your story. Connect with those that are out there with you, those that are sitting on the table next to you at a coffee shop or at a restaurant, that may be all alone, those that are on the pew with you on Sunday. Real connections cultivate a teachable heart. And who knows what God will do then. Until next time, I just pray that God will bless you, that you will share your story. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.